welcome to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz with the Top Dog. That was a good one.
That's a good bark. I mean, I'm just getting better and better with that bark.
It's like you invented it or something.
Hey, you better believe it, girl, and don't you forget it.
How you doing, Hanford?
I'm doing good, Gab. I guess you're asking me too what I've been doing.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Yeah, you know, I went to church yesterday.
I did know because you told me.
I went to church yesterday, and it's so funny because my pastor's son is now in the ministry, and he was the one that was, we call it preaching yesterday. And then the pastor, I sit on the back row, so I see someone coming around, and he's shaking my hand, and he decides to sit right by me throughout the entire service. So
that mean that you need the most prayers because you're a little rebel out there?
Absolutely. I always need prayer. But you didn't know I was brought up in the church, did you?
I do. It takes soul to know soul. Yeah. I know soul.
But one song they hit yesterday, and I know you know this song.
Okay.
And you have to give me just a little bit of it, just because you were singing it earlier.
Oh, okay.
Amazing. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, you have to watch me when you get into it, girl. That's how we do it in the church. Yeah, raise my hands. Raise my hands. Have you ever been to a Southern Baptist church?
I'll go with you.
Yeah, that's the way we just let it go and just have a good time. But yeah, I went to church yesterday, and but you know what, Gab? I miss football. Really miss football. Do you? You miss it a little bit?
I think it's a nice little break, to be honest. But I didn't play like you, and I know how it is when it's an off season.
Well, do you find yourself, and I guess I'm talking about myself here. I find myself on Sundays, especially Saturdays and Sundays, just trying to find something to watch sport-wise on TV. And you try to get into basketball, and you got the college sports. And, of course, one good thing, I'm a huge, huge baseball fan, So they're starting to play some games. Obviously, the regular season hasn't started yet, so that's something that can take the place of not being able to sit down and watch football every Sunday. But I really, really miss football. You a big baseball fan?
I am a big baseball fan. He's so silly.
How did I know that before I asked that question?
Oh, because I work in baseball.
Well, I tell you what, Gab, hopefully our Guardians, we got a new, and I didn't say Indians, I said Guardians. I can't believe I said that.
You're up to date.
We have a new manager, so hopefully it's going to be funny because Tito, I mean, we all know Tito has been there forever, but those guys are not, he's not going to be there, but this baseball team, I think it's going to do okay. But
yeah.
Also, let's talk a little football right here.
Okay.
Off the jump.
You want some football?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just got back from spring training. I was ready to go all sunshine and laid back, breezy at the baseball game feels if you wanted it. But back to NFL and football, because this is your wheelhouse, especially as a former player. My first thoughts for today were, how about this talk about potentially opening the season in Brazil?
Oh, you know what? That could be really, really cool because I don't think they've actually made a decision yet. I know there's been some talk and they're talking about it, but they haven't made a decision yet. And that would be really, really cool because the Browns, I think last year, obviously, we didn't have a team. We didn't play a game out of the country. We pretty much played everything right here in the United States. So that'd be cool if we, I don't know. Do you know who the opponent is going to be? I don't know. But I just know we're supposed to play someone, if it's the Eagles or whoever it is. It doesn't matter who it would be. I would love that. But boy, that would be great.
From a playing standpoint, would you prefer that?
You know what? We went to London when I was playing. We played a game in London, and everybody was excited about going. Obviously, I had been to London before, but you know, you get a chance to go, you take your family, and the number one priority, obviously, is playing the football game and getting that game out of the way. But also, what I liked about it, and at that time, Marty Schottenheimer was our head coach. We took care of our business as far as football wise, but he also gave us enough time to really, really get into the country and the city and just do things and the culture and everything that's surrounding that. So we really liked it. So I think that's what they'll do if we decide, if we're fortunate enough to play a team out of the country. I think obviously the number one thing would be playing that game and taking care of your business, but I think what they still would do is those guys would get a chance to really, really take their families and have a good time. So to answer your question, I thought it was great. I mean, I loved it, and I would love to see the Cleveland Browns play a game out of the country again.
I think it's kind of cool, too, because Brazil, you usually associate the other football with.
No.
And now we got American football. It'd be cool to, while you're there, just check out some of the culture and the soccer scene.
Now, Brazil, I've never been there. Have you?
No.
I mean, is that like supposedly a romantic place, or have you heard?
Any of those, I feel like, you know, you're speaking Portuguese there, and I feel like Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, these are they call them the romantic languages, right? I'm not making that up. Is that
right?
Romantic?
No, you're good.
Language?
You're good.
So maybe there are some sensual vibes down there. I don't know.
Well, like I said,
why are you looking to go for?
Well, no. I was trying to help.
Special reason?
I was trying to help you out because you know your love life. I always try to stay up on you and your love life, and I can't seem to keep up with it. But I'm gonna tell Dee and Jimmy Haslam, the owners of the Browns, if we go over out of the country and play, especially in Brazil, please take Gabby Willem because she. Oh. She, you know, we got to keep you straight, Gabby. We got to find you a man.
You are a determined matchmaker, and I have not asked him to be, but I appreciate you. We have to take our first break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriela Cruz alongside the Top Dog, and we were just going over Brazil and South America and
finding you a man over there.
Yeah, I know. He won't let me forget it. did I tell you I went to Chile and Argentina last year?
You did?
Really, really cool countries. Yes.
I didn't know that, Gab.
Brazil, not too far from there. I was really close to Antarctica, actually.
You never seem to surprise me. Never. Never, never, never.
Well, I know you're a traveling man, so I felt maybe you'd appreciate that, because I know you're going on a cruise soon, right?
I am. I'm actually leaving. I think it's like the 10th. I'm leaving out of Miami. I'll be gone for about 7 or 8 days, and I'll sit on the boat, have a few cocktails. You know, I'm a Crown Royal man, so I like to have me a Crown Royal and a beer. So
they don't have Christmas sales anymore.
I know, that's the thing that really that hurt me. You know, but that's all right. We'll have a good time. I just hope I don't get sick on that damn thing.
You ever been on a cruise before?
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you never know how it's gonna affect you.
I know. Well, just easy on the crown. Okay. I know you're a king, but
yeah. Okay.
Hey, we're bringing in another king. We got a really cool guest today. Thank you so much for coordinating. Now, this is a guy, Hanford really could only, there's only so many words to say how awesome he is. Considered one of the greatest defensive ends of all time. We're welcoming in Bruce Smith. Thank you so much. And I'm going to rattle off some of your accolades here, too. The NFL's all-time career leader in quarterback sacks with 200. Also, 11 Pro Bowls. 8 first-team All-Pro honors, and appearing in 4 consecutive Super Bowls with the Bills. So we're really excited to have you. Big Sexy, I think that's what you called him,
yeah,
right, Hanford?
Well, that's what I called him. You know, he ain't going to let everybody. He'll let you call him Big Sexy because you're my partner over here. But he ain't going to let, you know, he'll let Ozzie get away with calling him Big Sexy too. But there ain't many people can call him Big Sexy.
I just jumped right in before this interview. I said, what's up, Big Sexy?
Yeah, you caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Guys, thanks for having me on the show. And you know, anytime Hamper calls me top dog, I'm gonna do everything I possibly can to get on the show with him. What a class act, one hell of a football player, and he holds a special place in my heart, that's for sure.
Bruce, you played 19 seasons in the NFL.
I did.
That is just so incredible, because I usually hear people say NFL, not for long. It's tough to have a long career in the NFL because you both are very well aware of the physical toll it can take on your body for so many years. What the heck is your secret?
Well, I'm feeling it right now. there's not a moment that goes by that I don't feel pain. But, you know, what's even more impressive than that is that I put my hand in the dirt for that long. You don't see defensive linemen or offensive linemen, for that matter, have a body of work like that. And, you know, for me to have played that long, I attribute that to a number of smart coaches that I played with, a lot of great teammates, and Hanford Dixon introducing me to the Stairmaster, which has been a lifesaver for my knees after I had my first knee surgery.
See, Gabby, you didn't know that, and see you and what Bruce does, he'll jump on that thing. He doesn't have his shirt on. You know, he liked to take his shirt off when he got that sweat going. You know, Bruce, you have to know this now. I did an hour this morning. You know, at 8 o'clock every morning, I'm usually on that elliptical. Now is what I do. I do the elliptical. Right. And elliptical Stairmaster is pretty much the same thing, but
not quite.
Well, anyway, I did an hour. Hey, Bruce, I got to ask you this. And Gabby ran down, you know, like she said, leading the NFL in sacks, all your Pro Bowls, all your All Pros, and all that, and the 19 years you played. Coming out of Virginia Tech, you had no idea. Obviously you couldn't have been expecting to play 19 years and have all those accolades, but still you knew how good you were, correct?
Well, I had an indication when I was the first player picked in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I had an indication of how good I was. And even prior to that, I led the nation in college football in quarterback sacks 2 years in a row. So there was a level of consistency that that teams paid attention to. And I was still somewhat of a diamond in the rough because I was big. I hadn't gotten the information that I needed to really refine myself and become that player that understood the moment. And when I got there, my brain was like a sponge. When I was drafted by the Bills, my brains was like a sponge. And I pulled information from veterans. I learned about the Stairmaster from you. I got information about playing in conditions at Buffalo from Lucius Samford. I found out about my eating habits. I found out about strength, you know, in understanding that I was 290 pounds my first year, and then I got up to 310 pounds during the offseason, I quickly realized that I was not going to become the player that I desired to become unless I made some changes in my lifestyle. Lost 45 pounds, stopped eating red meat, and I started staying in shape year round as opposed to 6 months out of the year. And once I made those adjustments in my life, that's when my career just soared. And Ted Cottrell teaching me how to study film and break down the opponent, which was the offensive line. So once I put all of that together, I was just full of confidence. And then having an explosive offense like the K-Gun offense in Buffalo with Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and so many others, James Lofton, all Hall of Famers.
Right.
With a coach like Marv Levy, when they put those points on the board, it gave me opportunities, along with our defense, to get after the quarterback. And there's nothing like being able to pin your ears back as the passer. You know, in an era where particularly, you know, the balance, that we had a balanced league back then. They run the ball 50% of the time, and they throw it 50% of the time. Well, if you get down score-wise, you got to throw the ball. And that's what fit right into my wheelhouse.
Well, I you know, I tell everybody, and obviously we have a pretty good one here in Myles Garrett. And Myles Garrett is he's an awesome pass rusher. But, you know, I come from the Bruce Smith era. And I tell him, I say, y'all can say what you want to say. Y'all just don't know. And I say Big Sexy. That's what I call him. But, Bruce, the Jets. I mean, you got more sacks against the Jets than any other team. Was there something about the Jets that got you fired up? Were they supposed to, you know, move up and draft you or something? Something made you mad or something?
Well, you know, when you have an opportunity to play in New York, the bright lights, the biggest media city in the country, you want to shine. And you want to be able to perform at your highest level. So whether we played them in Buffalo or whether we played them in New York City, we knew that the media attention was going to be there. And it didn't hurt having a quarterback that I was playing against that would hold on to the ball a little longer than he was supposed to. So you take all of those factors into the equation, and it's all about when you walk out on that field, you just want to compete, man, and compete at the highest level. And I always tell guys, man, leave your mark on this game. Don't just become another number. Make that number you're wearing special. And that's what I set out to do. And you talk about Myles Garrett, what a phenomenal talent. And he finally got his just due this year. Winning the Defensive Player of the Year award honors. He is a special talent, a remarkable talent, an incredible human being, his demeanor, his work ethic. I knew his parents. They used to live here locally because they were in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So before Myles was drafted, she called me up, and they asked me to come out and meet with him and so forth. And we sat down, and he and I studied film, and I didn't know Miles's father, but he was a military man too. But it was just a great way of starting that young man's career off, and sitting down and getting to know him one-on-one, studying some film with him and chopping it up. So he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. And one day, if he continues to put this body of work together, I could see a gold jacket waiting for him at the end of it.
Well, I can tell you this real quick. You know, a defensive back or cornerback's dream is to have someone rushing the passer like a Myles Garrett, like a Bruce Smith, and just to Reggie White, just to go on and on and on talking about those guys, because obviously we had the two Pro Bowl corners, myself and Frank Minifield. We had the two All-Pro linebackers, Chip Banks and Clay Matthews, but we just didn't have that dominant defensive lineman. Not saying anything bad about the guys we had. I mean, those guys went out and they gave it their all in every single play. They tried to go after the quarterback, but just didn't have a guy like Bruce and those guys, that dominant pass rusher. You want to take a break and then we'll come back?
Bruce is clearly one of a kind. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much for your time, Bruce. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back with more. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. It's been so nice. We've been chatting with Bruce Smith. What a great get, Hanford. I know you two are friends. Let's bring him back. He was just talking about Myles Garrett and when Myles was just getting started, being able to talk to his parents and be introduced to Myles before he's built this incredible resume already. And Bruce, we'd like to point out, I know you've got your 200 shirt on. That is the NFL's leading 200 in your career sacks there. And Myles Garrett, he's entering his eighth season. It says he's 88 and a half so far in his career. TJ Watt, 96 and a half sacks entering his eighth year as well. So I don't know if they'll be able to put in 19 seasons like you did, Bruce.
Well, I could tell you no.
It's just something that I really can't get over, especially just because you guys definitely played. You were during a time
different game
when it was still so physical, but like we didn't have all of the new technology and the adjustments made for helmets and all kinds of things. So it's really awesome that you were able to have that long of a career.
And let me say this. Yeah. I mean, you look at these guys today, they get a little nick and they're out of the game. I mean, Bruce will tell you, I mean, I couldn't even look at my guys in the face to tell them, well, you know, hey, man, I'm out the game right now. You know, we playing the Bills or whoever we playing. You know, you got to go. I mean, the boys be depending on you. The game is so different today than when it was when we played it.
Hey, Hanford, even the training camp.
Yeah.
Man, our training camp for 5 to 6 weeks long.
Yeah.
We had live 9-on-7, live goal lines. So there was none of this, you can only wear pads,
yeah,
15 times throughout the course of the whole season. Man, we wore pads 15 times in 1 week,
right.
Doing 2-a-days, or 3-a-days.
Hey, if you didn't, they'll call yourself, you know.
Well, that's the thing, Bruce, you are tough. How did your dad play a role? I know he was in the Army for a while. He boxed in the Army. So did he teach you how to be tough?
Man, I learned my work ethic from my mother and father. And that's one of the things that's my badge of honor, watching them growing up. My father was in construction. My mother worked in a plastic factory, both of them making minimum wage at the time, which was $2.35,
mm-hmm.
by the way. So I learned a lot of lessons about life, work ethic, perseverance, and staying the course. So I am so grateful to have had my mother and father as the two people that I looked up to, my mentors, excuse me, and my heroes as a kid growing up in Norfolk, Virginia.
Yeah, I can concur with that because I was the same way with my mom and dad. I didn't have any brothers. I only had one sister. And I look at some of these kids today and what they can get away with. There is no way that I could ever,
absolutely
ever get away
not
with Bruce.
I remember
I didn't want to take a bath one night and over this. And I remember running the water in the bathtub and running and ran water all through the house. Man, they still looking for me. Because I knew if my dad or my mom got their hands on me, it was over. Big Sex, I got this question for you. I know this was a very, very special time for you when Buffalo retired your number 78. Tell me about some of those emotions that went through you during that ceremony.
Man, my mother-in-law would always tell her family to give me my flowers while I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that I was able to achieve this body of work and all the accolades that came along with it, I'm just very grateful and thankful that the Bills thought it befitting that they retire my jersey. What an honor. There's only two others, which is Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas. So I'm just you know, after a while, you just, I mean, what can you say?
Right.
You're grateful. and thankful for the fans, the ownership that, and remember my Ralph Wilson, who's a Hall of Fame owner, didn't do it. This was done by the new owner of the Buffalo Bills. So I'm just grateful and thankful. And it's special being in a class of players that have had their jerseys retired. Now, if you look at being a Hall of Famer, that's less than 1% of everyone that's ever played in the NFL becoming a Hall of Famer. Now, if you take it a step further, I think only a third or close to a third of them have had their jerseys retired. So it puts you in a elite class.
Absolutely.
That really kind of puts that explanation point behind your career.
Big Dog, you follow the Bills today. I mean, they just can't seem to get out of their own way. They can't get over the hump, man. Obviously, Josh Allen is their quarterback. But, I mean, you've been able to pinpoint of what's going on with their football team. How come they just can't get it done?
Man, starting with 3 years ago, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
That's where it started. And the year after that, we lost to Cincinnati at home in that huge playoff loss. And then this past year, to be quite honest with you, this past year, I am surprised that we made it to that point based upon all of the injuries that our team was decimated with injuries.
Yeah.
Trey White, to Milano, to Von Miller not being healthy, to a number of other guys that either didn't play in that game or they were nicked up. But you can notice the difference between a starter and a backup or a third string.
Yeah.
They're always one or two steps behind. And then this game, that's what will get you beat. And consequently, that's what happened to us. We had a number of backups in the game. And when you're playing against a player like Patrick Mahomes, you can't give him an inch, let alone 2 or 3 feet to have that window to be able to complete a pass or to scramble out of the pockets. So I would sum it up and just say mental errors really beat us in that particular ball game. And that'll beat you quicker than the physicality of it because you're always out of position and a step or two behind.
But Dog, I'm going to go back here and ask you this question. Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, just the name. I see you smiling just the name. And obviously there was a little, you could say controversy with the award being given to Myles Garrett. TJ was a little bit hot. I think he was because he's leading the league in sacks. Any comment you want to make on that?
Look, they probably could have flipped a coin. But I got to tell you, Myles had one impressive season.
Mm-hmm.
And when a player has a dominant season the way he did, you need to reward him. If I'm not mistaken, TJ has already won it once or twice.
Yes, once.
It was Myles' turn.
Mm-hmm.
You can also throw in a player like Chris Jones, who is a dominant player that's versatile, plays defensive end and defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you really want to dive into it deeper, had it not been for Chris Jones, they wouldn't have won multiple games during the playoffs that the Chiefs have won. So, man, we've got some exciting defensive players in the game right now, along with quarterbacks. And you know this just as well as I do. the two most important positions on a football team is the quarterback and the pass rusher.
Yeah.
And we've got our fair share of both of them in this league, and that's what makes this league so exciting right now.
Well, you know, I always tell, and Gab, you hear me say this all the time, I say the game of football is controlled on the defensive and offensive line of scrimmage. I say that's where the game is played.
We've got to take a quick short break. We'll be back with more Bruce Smith right after this. I actually had a question for the both of you. It's so interesting because I just want to know how you guys became friends. How'd you cross paths and become homies?
Hey, that's a Brazil story.
Yeah. That is a Brazil story, but I could just tell you this. We are tight. We are tight. That's my dog. I'm his dog. And it's funny because I was telling Ozzy that Ozzy's been on the show, a couple times. He don't have a choice whenever we call. He's like you, dog. He don't have a choice whenever we call him. He's got to call.
Yeah, what time, man? What time you want me out of show?
Right. But I told him, you was coming on. And he just started laughing. He said, "You too." He said, "You two gonna get on there? Are y'all gonna be able to say anything besides laughing with each other?" I said, "Yeah, dog. We keep it going there. We chop it up a little bit." Bruce,
hey Hanford. You know, one of the things that over the years, man, we have lost so many of our brothers.
Yes,
and this is one of the things that I cherish the most. The relationships that I built in the National Football League and being able to call you my brother or anytime, I'm in the area coming up to Cleveland, being able to pick up the phone and just be able to spend some time with you, man, that's near and dear to my heart. So that's what this is about right now. We just lost several players. Chris Dolman just passed a few years ago. We just lost Kevin Green, another pass rusher who passed away, and there's so many others. So man, it's important for us to make sure we stay connected, we keep in contact with one another, and we make sure that we go and get our checkups and screenings and do the things that are necessary. So we can keep having these conversations.
Absolutely. Gab, I got one other question for him. You have anything else?
You go ahead.
Bruce, I have a question for you, and I want the answer when I give you this one. If Captain Hook moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
Man, I gave the number one answer, but it was already taken. I said hammer.
Bruce,
oh, my goodness.
Gab, you missed this one. Bruce was on, what's his name?
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's show.
Family Feud.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And Steve Harvey asked Bruce that question. The first answer Bruce gave was already gone. So he said, give me another answer. And you want to know what he said?
Say the question again. If Captain Hook
was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
Okay.
He want to take it to Brazil with him.
Yeah. Bones, can I say? Bruce said a penis. That's what he said. And this is on the Family Feud. When Steve Harvey, Steve was just like.
I know Steve had to give you the hardest time after that. No pun intended.
He stopped the show for like 5 to 10 minutes. And he joked and we laughed. And we had to contain ourselves and get it back together and restart the show again. But.
Oh, man.
After we gathered ourselves, we came back. And I won the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did.
So you got a blooper and a highlight reel and a W. That's pretty good.
I got an all-time blooper. Absolutely.
That's incredible. We could do.
It was in the time of COVID. Yeah. So everybody needed a little laughter, and I provided it for them.
My brother, we thank you, man. You know I love you. And
that is too funny. You guys, we could have done the Brazil-esque show. People want to know. We're behind the scenes anyway.
That's
so
right. That's right.
I just want to know how y'all met and how you stayed close so long.
Well, we tried to tell you that. It was we're skating around the to answer that question.
You,
but
you ran in similar circles?
We ran in similar circles. That's all we
can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then last thing, Bruce, I did think it was cool that you mentioned your dad earlier and his time in the military. How many years was he in for?
Oh, shoot.
And we was looking for that picture. You still haven't found the picture?
Yeah,
we was waiting on you to pick that up and show it, yeah. But that's all right. We'll let you off the hook on that one.
Off the hook.
Well, yeah. Well,
off the hook. Yeah, hey, no that. Pun intended.
No
huh?
pun intended. Off the hook. I can't believe you. That was good, Gab. That was good.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much, and congratulations on an incredible career. We really think it's cool that you shared your time and your story with us today.
Thanks for having me, Gabby, and love you, bro.
You too, my friend.
Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. Thanks so much for watching. It was really nice, Hanford, having Bruce on. Big Sexy, what are you laughing about?
I'm still laughing about that interview. You know why I'm laughing? Because it's so funny watching your face when you ask a question and you don't get that answer to that question that you want.
you're leaving our audience on a cliffhanger. Make something up.
Right, and you are so funny. And I'm like over here saying, Gab, it's okay. It's okay.
You're like, it was a good one that he dodged
I mean, that's my dog. We, as you know, we go way back. I mean, way back. I mean, that's Big Sexy, as I call him.
And it's crazy because he still looks good. He still looks like he's really in shape.
You know, he really does. And I know he liked the fact that I told him this morning I'm still on that elliptical Stairmaster doing our thing. But he still looks like he's in shape and he can play. Well, I do too, you know, can play right now. But Gap, I'm telling you this, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that. Well, you read executives and stats and all that. I mean, this guy, I mean, just phenomenal defensive end. When you talk about the standard to play that position, that's who you look at, a guy like Bruce Smith. And it's funny, you know, when he talk about Myles Garrett, you could see his eyes and the excitement in his face, you know, because I think he see, and he didn't say this, and I didn't want to put him on the spot. I put him on the spot a little bit talking about how T.J. Watt and all the other guys felt about Miles winning the award. But you could tell when he talked about Myles Garrett that he kind of see a little bit of himself in Miles and the way he played the game, the way Miles is playing the game, the only thing I could say, and I think it would be nice, and I would hope to see Miles play 19 years in the NFL, because that would mean we'll have him for a long, long time with the Cleveland Browns uniform on, that orange and brown, and he can continue to torture our quarterbacks. And I wanted to give him a hard time because, you know, Halloween, we all know Miles came up with the whole decoration in his yard where he had the tombstones of all the quarterbacks that he sacked. You know who started that? Bruce Smith.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, Bruce. We should have brought that up.
Yeah.
I thought it was a Myles Garrett original.
No, Bruce was the guy that did that. And I think Bruce had 76
quarterbacks.
Fake tombstones in his yard of the quarterback. And Bernie Kosar was one of those was one of those quarterbacks that he had in
wow.
there.
Wow.
But, yeah, but he is – I can't just – I can go on.
What were some of his, you know, was it that he was just so quick and he could read quickly and he can move quickly?
Yeah, he had a combination of all of that. He had power. He had speed. He just had a knack for just rushing the quarterback, getting to the quarterback, putting pressure on the quarterback, and strip sack, as we call it today.
Yeah.
I mean, he had all those talents that he can just get to him. And like I said, I wish, who knows where my career would have gone. I mean, I had a good career, but who knows where it could have gone if I'd have had someone like Bruce Smith, someone like a Myles Garrett. And again, I'm not talking about our guys. The guys that we had were good guys. They were guys that really went after the quarterback, rushed the quarterback. But this guy was on another level.
Oh,
he was on another level.
I wish I could have probed him a little more about his dad in boxing, because obviously in boxing, you got to have a quick reaction time. And for him, obviously speed and power were big assets for him.
Yeah, and you could tell he really, with his parents, and he mentioned this, that's where he learned pretty much everything is from his parents. They really taught him a lot, and obviously he's got a lot of respect for them.
I think it's really cool we got to talk to a living legend, yeah. And I get to talk to a living legend every week.
I'm glad you realized that, okay? I'm glad you realized that, God damn it.
With that, we'll take our last break of the show. Thanks so much for watching The Hanford Dixon Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Hanford Dixon Show. I'm Gabriella Cruz alongside the top dog, Hanford Dixon, and we're wrapping up our show here. A thing I wanted to hit you with.
Before you hit me, mm-hmm. Can I tell you this?
What's that?
I learned something today.
What's that?
Where you got your name from.
Yes, you did.
Michael, did you learn that today too? I mean, was that, that's the first time you heard that?
That's the first I've heard of it.
I was named after the Archangel Gabriel.
Well, can I say this real quick? Michael's getting ready to go to New York. He's got a show that he's getting ready to do. See, this is a man with many talents.
I'm glad you brought it up because we did originally start shooting our show and then we had technical difficulties and we couldn't bring him on. Do you have a solo shot or no?
Not right now.
Okay, but he has audio, so let's hype him up a little bit. Michael, you play the guitar. And he's very talented, and he's had the opportunity to travel with different bands. Where are you going in New York, and what for?
Yeah, so I'm traveling out to Long Island first to just rehearse with the guys, and then we're hitting the road down south. Going to play some shows in Virginia and North Carolina before coming back to work.
What's the name of the band, and what kind of music?
It's hard rock, and they're called Dead Superstar.
All right.
Do you get nervous when you first go on stage, or is that you just used to it now?
Extremely nervous every time, and the adrenaline's pumping. It's not the same, but I want to say it's similar to like playing a professional sport, right? In that you sort of like you get hyped up and everything, and then the moment happens and you're totally in the zone.
Well,
and
once you get going, yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish we had a camera for him, but today our camera took a crap and we couldn't utilize it to get all of us in the shot, but we will next show.
Our camera took a crap?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened.
Oh, my goodness. I learned something every time I do this damn show with you.
I've been in here too long. It's like 1,000 degrees, Hanford.
You are crazy. I can't tell you how many people said that they're just waiting for our show to come on.
So yeah, what? People do enjoy our show. Even though sometimes we're boxing with each other.
Yeah. And I always lose those.
That's just our humor.
But it's been good. It's been good. It's been a good show. How much time do we have, big dog? Did you know, real quick, the salary cap?
I was going to say, quick, we have less than a minute, but what did you think about that? NFL salary cap now $255 million. That's $30 million more than last season. Does this affect the Browns and their offseason plans?
Well, I'll tell you this really quick. I was talking to Ozzie, and he said, and me and Ozzie talk every day, so you guys said, I told him, I said, hey, man, I said, the salary cap really help you guys. He said, yeah, but the only problem is it's helping all the other teams too. So talking about the
Everyone
Browns.
Else.
Yeah, the Browns can address some of those issues that we have, like a Nick Chubb. We don't no longer have to go in and try to renegotiate his contract unless we want to, because that's somebody we couldn't afford to lose. I mean, he's a rock of this team. So is that like what you would say, the rock of this team?
Yeah, the backbone.
Backbone of this team.
I know where you were going with it.
Okay. But yeah, like the salary cap, like the increase in the salary cap. We'll say that.
That could pay off for us. Hanford, great show. Thanks so much for bringing us Bruce Smith. And we'll see you next time.